Good day, KVNF listeners. This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, February 2nd. I'm Brody Wilson. Thanks so much for listening. The Montrose County Commissioner's race is continuing to take shape with another candidate entering the field. Local businessman and consultant Tim Stroh is running for the District 3 seat on the Montrose Board of County Commissioners. Stroh says the county needs stability after a turbulent year that included senior staff departures and a successful recall election of Scott Majares. He says his background in business and public sector work gives him experience rebuilding organizations and restoring trust. The District 3 seat is currently held by Commissioner Sean Pond, who was appointed and is not seeking election. Pond is now running for U.S. Senate. Stroh will face Republican Ed Lafferty in the District 3 primary. In District 2, which is open because Commissioner Sue Hansen is term limited, Republicans Karen Webb Gibson, former superintendent of Delta County Public Schools, and Scott Reba, former Republican Party chairman, are the candidates running thus far. KVNF will be having profile discussions with all of the Montrose County Commissioner candidates ahead of the primary election on June 30th, and of course before the general election in November. According to the Montrose Daily Press, the Montrose Police Department arrested a woman Friday after they say she blocked traffic during a protest on East Main Street and Cascade Avenue. According to the Montrose Police Department statement to the Daily Press, the 60-year-old woman repeatedly stood in the travel lane and moved to block cars. Officers say she refused commands to return to the sidewalk and became argumentative. She was arrested on suspicion of obstructing a highway and obstructing a peace officer. She was identified as Yvette Sylvia Booth. In a statement to the Montrose Daily Press, Montrose Police Chief Blaine Hall said, quote, "The Montrose Police Department respects everyone's right to exercise free speech while peacefully and safely protesting within the community. We ask that all community members exercise their rights in a safe and lawful manner." Colorado is moving closer to changing what people can buy with SNAP benefits, but that decision isn't final yet. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KSJD's Lacey McKay has more from down in Cortez.
Governor Jared Polis has signed on to what's known as a healthy choice waiver, which would restrict certain drink purchases under the federal food assistance program, framing the move as a way to improve public health. The proposal still needs approval from the State Board of Human Services, which is scheduled to take it up on February 6th. If approved, the changes would take effect in April. Supporters say limiting sugary drinks and other items could help address diet-related health issues, but national research, including studies published by the Journal of Nutrition Education and Behavior and Healthy Eating Research, have found limited evidence that restricting SNAP purchases actually leads to better health outcomes. Studies have shown more success with a different approach, programs that make healthy food more affordable, like Double Up Food Bucks, which offers SNAP participants more money for buying fruits and vegetables. Advocates say the debate comes down to whether improving nutrition is better achieved through limits on personal choice or by expanding access and affordability for healthier options. For now, SNAP recipients in Colorado are being encouraged to share their feedback and to watch closely as the state board makes its final decision. I'm Lacey McKay with KSJD News.
A long and emotional hearing in Delta County on January 22nd centered on Fort Austin. Fort Austin is an agritourism property along Highway 133 near Paonia. This is an operation that KVNF has profiled recently in our Farm Friday segments. At issue in the January 22nd hearing was whether the county planning director acted within his authority when he classified Fort Austin's current facilities and operations as an unlawful, non-conforming use. That decision came after a complaint triggered a county review. But during the hearing, that complaint itself became a major point of dispute. Here, Community Development Director Sean Gardner addresses the Board of Adjustment.
This case is an appeal to the Board of Adjustments to consider whether to reverse or affirm or to modify a determination that was made by myself as Community Development Director.
Gardner laid out the legal frame. This board was not deciding whether Fort Austin is a good business or whether agritourism belongs in the North Fork. The question was very narrow. Did the planning director follow the rules? And did he rely on clear evidence? County staff said yes, pointing to three specific compliance issues. The first issue was access. County staff said Fort Austin expanded from a private residence into a commercial operation hosting events and overnight guests. Under state law, that shift triggers a requirement for a highway access permit from the Colorado Department of Transportation. Again, Community Development Director Sean Gardner.
After the purchase date, the land use changed from a single-family residence to a commercial lodging and event hosting business. At that time, the use of the access intensified. Accommodations for 16 overnight guests, that's one glamping tent, four cabins, three deluxe apartments, and up to 80 guests for events were developed on the property. Fort Austin does not have an access permit from CDOT for this commercial use. CDOT requires Fort Austin to obtain an access permit.
Gardner continued to read correspondence from CDOT to Fort Austin, informing them of their non-compliant access and detailed the steps necessary for them to become compliant. He says that's not discretionary. Once a use becomes commercial, CDOT, not the county, controls whether the access point is allowed. Without that permit, the county says the operation cannot be legal. Fort Austin says they were not aware of such requirements and that the agreement between Delta County and CDOT enabling these requirements did not come up in a title search performed when they bought the property. And had they known, they would not have purchased the property to begin with, and that the county had not previously informed them of these access requirements prior to the complaint. The second issue involves water. Fort Austin uses a well permitted for residential use. County staff said that matters. Residential wells are tightly limited under state law and cannot legally supply water for paying guests or events.
Water from this well is not permitted to be used for any other purposes. Therefore, water from the well cannot legally be used to provide water for drinking, cooking, or sanitary purposes in a commercial venture.
Gardner says that restriction applies regardless of intent, even if the operation is small, even if it grew gradually. Without a different water approval, the county says its use of the well is unlawful. The third issue is wastewater. County staff said a septic system tied to a public restroom was never fully permitted, and that becomes an issue when the public is invited onto the property. Gardner stressed that enforcement wasn't meant to shut Fort Austin down. He said that the county issued an advisory notice and invited the owners to work through compliance. But Fort Austin's owners argued that the process broke down much earlier. They said enforcement should never have started at all, because the complaint itself was flawed. They also argue that the county never conducted a required field visit before taking enforcement actions. County staff acknowledged that no on-site inspection tied to the complaint occurred, but said that their determination relied on permits and records, not a physical visit. Tim Austin, owner of Fort Austin.
Under the 2024 Land Use Code, enforcement begins with a complaint, followed by a field visit within 30 days. To determine whether an alleged violation has merit. That field visit is not optional. It is how facts are gathered. It is how evidence is discovered. To be valid, a complaint must allege a violation of the land use code. In this case, there was no valid complaint alleging a land use code violation by Fort Austin. The Davises, whose names appear on the complaint form, have stated publicly and on record at both the Planning Commission and the Board of County Commissioner meeting and at a private meeting that they did not intend to file a complaint.
One board member, Kim Kelly, agreed.
I just can't get past the fact that the persons who made these complaints, number one, I don't think they were adequately filled out. It was in retaliation. And I have a problem with that. That's not a valid complaint. We never should have taken it, and we never should have investigated it.
But the rest of the board said that once staff began reviewing the property, they couldn't ignore what they found. Board Chair Candace Conway.
Regardless of if we agree or not with how the complaint came in, it triggered a series of events that led us down this path where a determination was made. And that uncovered quite a bit. It uncovered things that are outside of our capacity with the water, the wells, CDOT.
In the end, the board faced a narrow choice, not whether Fort Austin should survive, but whether the planning director acted within his authority.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
And with that, the Board of Adjustment voted to affirm the planning director's decision. That leaves Fort Austin classified as an unlawful, non-conforming use. Any next steps now move beyond this board. It's now up to Fort Austin to bring their operation into compliance through new applications with state and local agencies, or through the courts. Which path they'll take is not yet clear. That's your KBNF Regional Newscast for Monday, February 2nd. Thanks so much for joining us. For more local and regional news, log on to kbnf.org. I'm Brody Wilson.